Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
James writes to the called the 12 tribes of Israel. So basically the people of Israel, some of them had been displaced because of persecution that we see in Acts chapter 8. You can get the historical event. They'd been scattered because of that. And so he's getting this letter. Maybe it was a letter that was circulated to the different groups of believers and churches to encourage them, but also to correct them. Okay, a lot of what James has to say has a little bit of a corrective tone to it, all right? But he really addresses the idea of maturity. And so he talks about enduring perseverance in trials. He talks about not only just hearing what the Word of God says, but actually doing it, all right? You guys have been listening, all right? And then he talks about, last week we talked about mature words, all right? Just using the words that we speak. You guys had a lot of fun with that one. But the words that we speak, how the tongue can be hard to tame, but also that with that we can do a lot of positive, but also a lot of destruction. So how are we going to use our tongue? How are we going to use our words to build up the body of Christ? And so James is saying there has to be a connection between our belief and our faith with what the words that we say. There should be a direct link there. So now he shifts and he talks about wisdom, all right? And wisdom, if you were to define wisdom, it's different from knowledge, okay? There's a connection between the two, but to me, knowledge is that you can have all this information, right? And you can know all this information. That doesn't mean you're wise, does it? Wisdom is being able to take that knowledge and to use it in the right way, to apply it in the right way, okay? You have this information, how am I going to use it? Some of the brightest people I know necessarily are, they do a lot of stupid things, okay? All right, can we put it that way? All right, so you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have wisdom to go with it, then you're still going to have some issues. So we're going to talk about wisdom. He talks about wisdom. When you think of wisdom, you know, that picture of wisdom is what? Is the old guy with the white hair and the white beard, because with that age usually comes what? Maturity, right? And some wisdom. Not always, but that's what we sometimes illustrate. Or you got the picture of the owl, right? I don't know how the owl got to be known as this being wise, but maybe because they just sit up in the tree and look dignified and they go, hoo, hoo. You know, I don't know. They ask a lot of questions, right? Hoo, hoo. All right. You'll get that. You'll get that one. All right. That was just off the cuff. All right. But I shouldn't do that too much. All right. So he talks about wisdom, all right, and maturity and how those two. And what James is getting at is he's really talking to those mature believers, people that are probably teachers and leaders within the churches, and they're claiming to be spiritual. They're claiming to be mature. Why? I see I got white hair, got the white beard, but their fruit is proving otherwise. Okay? There isn't a connection there. So let's read, let's see what James has to say about wisdom. We're going to take the first couple verses there, 13 and 14 of chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life and by deeds done in humility. Usually humility and knowledge do not go together, or wisdom that comes from wisdom. If you harbor envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray you would take it and just allow your Holy Spirit just to fashion it and to tailor it for our heart and in our life today. In your name we ask. Amen. You know, it's one thing to claim to be wise, right? James says, you know what, I don't care if you claim to be wise. I don't know. I care if you have letters after your name, MD, PhD, what our CPA, I don't know, whatever, your counselor. He goes, I don't care if you have those things. What I care about is what are the deeds that flow from your maturity? And if you say you have wisdom, show it by what you do. Now, James' audience, they claimed to be wise, but they had envy and they had selfish ambition. What's envy? Envy. And don't you usually see what somebody else has and you say, I want to be like them. I want to have what they have. You know, they got the new car, and so I'm in envy because I want the new car. Or they got new clothes. Or, oh, they got the promotion and I didn't get the promotion. We envy. Okay? And maybe even we were claiming to be wiser than the other person so that we can elevate our position or our importance. Man, they got that promotion. Or people look to them and we get envious. And their wisdom seemed to stem from envy, that they wanted to be more knowledgeable, more wise than the other person. And instead of creating unity, it created division, it created hostility, it created anger. But they also, their wisdom was spurred by selfish ambition. It was self-serving. They weren't looking to glorify God or build up the body of Christ. Instead, they were looking to increase their power, their influence, or their financial state. Their wisdom was self-serving. It was to serve their own ambition. So the first principle that's in your program there is that mature wisdom aligns with our belief. Just like our words need to align with what we believe, so does our wisdom. There needs to be that connection that I say that I'm a Christian, I'm growing in Christ. My wisdom also needs to reflect that I am a Christian, a born-again Christian, the fruit of the Spirit. And so therefore, envy and selfish ambition, are they a fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5? No. They're a part of that other list, right? The works of the flesh. And so, if our wisdom should reflect the fruit of the Spirit, godly wisdom. You know, and wisdom and knowledge tend to what? They don't create humility in our lives. Usually they create what? Don't they? A lot of times create pride, right? Knowledge puffs up, it says in Scripture, and it's true. You know, you think you know, you go to college and you graduate and you think you know it all, and then you get out into the real world and you find out how much you don't know. And in fact, if your teachers do a good job at your college or in these different areas, you should come away with the idea that, you know what, there's a lot I don't know, instead of coming away with the idea that I know everything, okay? But knowledge and wisdom can tend to puff us up, which is not a fruit of the Spirit. And that's what was happening in these believers. They were allowing it to go to their head, and they were getting comfortable, and it was leading to their own ends. And so mature godly wisdom, though, on the other side, will bring glory to God. It'll build up the kingdom of Christ, creating unity, purpose, and glory to God. And so mature wisdom must align with what we say that we, who we are, and what we profess who we are in Christ. But James doesn't stop there. Let's look at it a little bit more here. 15 and 16. He says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, from God, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. Ooh. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Wisdom comes from primarily two different places, God or from human beings. All right? Two places. And sometimes they're in agreement with each other. Sometimes they align with each other's. Sometimes they do not, though. And what I find is that human wisdom, while there is some good human wisdom and secular wisdom out there, it can be short-sighted. In other words, it is restricted by what we know and what we've experienced. Okay? The last time I checked, you and I we don't know what's going to happen 1 minute or 1 second after right now. We don't. We don't know what's going to happen and what's going to take place. God does. We don't. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, this week, this month. God does. And so we can possess wisdom and we can possess knowledge from experience and from scientific methods, but it is always restricted by what we know and by our humanness. God, on the other hand, knows all things. He knows what's always has been, and he knows what the future holds. In fact, if we learned from wisdom and knowledge, technically we wouldn't repeat a lot of the things in history. But if you're a student of history, what happens? If you look at history, yeah, we repeat everything, don't we? Yeah, we're going to learn from our mistakes. We're going to learn from history. And we don't. Human wisdom, secondly, is tainted by our sinful nature. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But behind much human wisdom is selfish ambition or wickedness itself. Now think about wisdom in the financial world. Okay, say if you were a financial advisor. Okay, wealth to help somebody manage their wealth. Now, there is some good benefits that comes and some wisdom that comes with having an emergency plan, okay, like Dave Ramsey encouraged you to save and to plan for the future. But you can also take that too far that people use it just to get ahead and to watch out for number one. And it's not about being generous. It's not about furthering God's work here on earth. It's just about taking care of myself. It's very self-centered, self-ambition, isn't it? So that I can have the nice car and I can have the nice retirement plan when I retire. And is retirement even a biblical principle? That's your homework for this week, okay? All right. But we have this human wisdom, but often it is geared towards looking out for number one instead of what is going to lead towards bringing glory to God and build up his kingdom. And so we talked a little bit. Dwayne shared about giving. And you know, you think about Barnabas. The church grows in Acts chapter 2 and 3. And Barnabas must have had some land. He must have had some wealth. Human wisdom would say, keep that. You're going to retire soon and you're going to need to have something to fall back on. But what does Barnabas do? He goes out and sells his property and gives the money to the church. Now, in human sense, that isn't very wise. You know, give to the church, but, you know, come on. You know, you give a little bit, you know, but don't give it all. Okay? But you know what? Barnabas is still part of the plan. When Paul comes on the scene, he's out there planting churches, and God is providing for his needs. He's part of church history and an instrumental part of what God did. If we want to be used by God, we can utilize human wisdom in the financial realm, but we also have to be willing to lay it all on the table and say, God, you've entrusted all this to me. How do you want me to use it for your glory and your plan? All right? Let's look at the business world, wisdom in the business world. When you get into the business world, often wisdom there is looking out for number one again. And you're looking at how can I get ahead? How can I maneuver things so that I can get promoted or get the pay raise or move up the ladder? So we can have wisdom, but often it can have this evil side to it almost where it's about me getting ahead and moving ahead in the business world. Yeah, it can mean more income, it can mean better pay and all that type of stuff, better perks. But is it serving the kingdom of God and is it building unity and friendships or is it just about me and getting ahead? Can I share your story about Brooklyn in very generic terms? Wisdom in the workplace. Amy took a couple days to go out to Brooklyn. It was to do some contract teaching, train other teachers in the reading program. And so she taught on Friday and came back on Monday. Well, she was in the middle of teaching, and all of a sudden her class almost doubled or grew by a significant amount. They came from another teacher's room. And she thought, well, that's weird. But anyway, she didn't question it. She taught these people. So instead of having, 12, 15, she ended up close to about 30 people in this class, which is a huge class. Come to find out later that one of the other instructors kind of took advantage of the situation and said, oh, you know what, I can't teach this, when she could have. And so she sent him on to Amy's room. So when it comes out to checkout time, each of the facilitators has to enter paperwork on each of the students in the class. So this lady thought, oh, you know what, I'll use this kind of other people's ignorance to pass these students off onto Amy. And so Amy got to teach them all, and she got to fill out the paperwork for 30 people instead of for somebody else. And this lady only had to do like 9 of them or 5 of them. And she knew how to manipulate the system to meet her own needs. And so then you just think about how that influenced the team, and, you know, that really builds unity, doesn't it? And, you know, Amy just kind of, you know, after it eventually came to the surface what she had done. But we can use wisdom. See, secular wisdom a lot of times wants to do it so that you can get ahead. It isn't there to serve others and to further God's kingdom. So the second principle is mature wisdom is from God. It's not that there's not secular wisdom out there that can be utilized, but often it can be polluted. Okay, just put it in kind of terms maybe we can understand. Human wisdom can be polluted by selfish ambition, by envy, and by other things, by our sinful nature. It can be polluted. It gets in the way of what pure wisdom is. And so if, as believers in Christ, we want to mature in godly wisdom, we have to go to God. Now, how do we go to God to get wisdom? Let's look at a few verses here. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, when a scripture, especially in Proverbs, uses fear, does it mean that I'm afraid of God? No, it doesn't mean that to be afraid of. It means that you're seeking after God. You realize that He's God and I'm not. I'm human, He's God. It's having that respect and honor for who He is, that He is Lord, He is Master, He is Savior, okay? So it's having a fear of Him. And with the fear of the Lord, that is where we can begin to glean wisdom into our life. Colossians 2:2-3, Paul's talking to the Colossians and the churches in Colossae. And they thought, you know what, we're really knowledgeable or wise because we're gleaning all this secular knowledge and wisdom. And Paul confronts that and he says it's in Christ, in Him, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. In Christ. And it goes back to that passage that even Gil mentioned, that Christ has always been and He always will be. And wisdom calls out. James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him." So when we go to God's Word and we go to God in prayer, God can give us wisdom. Day in and day out, as we begin a new day, saying, "God, what do I do in this work situation? Okay, I know what I want to do in my own flesh, but what, God, what are you telling me I should do? How do I respond to these threats? How do I respond to this person's actions? How can I walk in wisdom in a way that will glorify you and build others up, and build up the team that I work with, and so? How do I manage my household, and How do I handle my finances in a way that glorifies you, God, and that furthers your kingdom and provides for my family? You know, God cares about your family, doesn't He? He wants you to provide for your needs. So how can you go to God in His Word and say, "God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom how to do all that." How do you, as a parent, you know, children don't come out with instructions, okay? They don't come with it, Karen and Josh. You know, you're surrounded by good people. You have great wisdom and insight. But each child is different. Each child is different. No one child is, they're all different. And often you find yourself going to God, "God, what do I do in this situation? I need your wisdom." And God just doesn't say, "Ha, ha, you're out on your own on this one, buddy." Instead, God says, "You know what? He is generous. And as we seek His face, as we ask Him, He will give without finding fault." That is an earlier promise in the book of James. So godly, mature wisdom comes from God. Let's look at the last couple verses here. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere, peacemakers whose soul and peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So you get the impression that these people, these teachers and these leaders thought they were wise, but their wisdom was not leading to unity, and rather it was leading to division, it was leading to hostility and bitterness in the lives of people. It wasn't building up God's kingdom. And I can guarantee you that if you're part of a church or even just the church in a larger picture, if it's full of hostility and envy, you know, it's kind of like, oh yeah, that's where I want to be, right? You don't want to be part of that. You want to come to a place where when you come and you gather with other brothers and sisters in Christ, that there's fellowship, that there's unity. You might not always agree on everything, but there's that sense of camaraderie and fellowship. That's important. So he lists what God's wisdom is, the fruit. He says, first of all, that's the third principle, is that mature wisdom overflows with good fruit. All right? And we've talked about that a lot over the past year, but maturity is going to produce good fruit. Okay? So God's wisdom is, first of all, pure. It's pure. It's not tainted. It's not polluted by selfish ambition, by envy, by other sin. It is pure. Now, if you go to the store, a lot of times you'll buy not just olive oil, but you're going to buy the what kind of olive oil? The extra virgin olive oil, right? Because that is hopefully the purest form. Okay, my wife's been buying coconut oil because that's the good oil out there. And so she wants the unrefined extra virgin coconut oil, all right? Because there's less impurities in it. It's the pure thing, all right? And God's wisdom is not tainted by our humanness. So while there is secular wisdom, we have to go to God for wisdom because it is pure. It's undefiled, and we can get true wisdom from God as we come to Him. And it should lead to purity in other ways. Secondly, it is peace-loving. It will lead to peace rather than division or destruction. And so if our wisdom is producing fruit, and we go, wow. I was in some meetings, and I heard about a situation and how a situation was handled. And just as, you know, hindsight's always better than, you know. But I just kind of looked at that, and I just looked at the fruit that resulted from decisions that were made, and it's kind of like, was it really the wisdom of God, or was it the wisdom of man? Because it created a lot of hurt and hardship. Peace-loving. And I don't think it's not so much of being a people-pleaser. Okay, being a people-pleaser is not spiritual, okay? There's a difference between being a people-pleaser and being a peacemaker. Okay? Peacemaker, you're working to find a good, peaceful solution. You're working towards a solution. It doesn't mean that you're just a yes person and you do what everybody else tells you. It means you're working towards a solution in a godly way. All right? Considerate. It's gentle. It's power under control. There again, you're not a pushover, but meekness, maybe we'd be thrown into this considerate or submissive category. Maybe even some translations have meekness listed. And meekness was the term that the Roman soldiers used for their horses. You know, you think of a horse. Man, they're just muscle, aren't they? I mean, you can pat them and they're just built. All right? They're solid muscle. But you know what? With a bit and a bridle, you can control a horse. You can steer them wherever you want to. They're power under control. Okay, now every once in a while they get a mind of their own, right? And they can throw you. And they have that ability if they want to. But the idea of meekness is that there's power there, but it's under control. And it needs to be under, our lives need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And God needs to be in control of our life. But we're gentle. Wisdom from God is peace-loving. It is considerate. It's also submissive. You know, Scripture calls us to submit to one another. Isn't that interesting? Submit to one another. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your friend, whether it's leadership, We are to submit to one another, to be approachable. And there again, the idea of humility, of being humble. I don't always have it figured out. You don't always have it figured out. I wish we did, but I don't. There has to be some humility. The minute we think that we got it all figured out and we're right, we're wrong. Okay? Because we don't. All right. Mercy. Does our wisdom reach out in loving compassion? I was in some presbyter meetings this past week. And usually, not every meeting, but a lot of, at least once a year, we have to deal with some difficult decisions that affect the ministry of people because of their actions. And I just appreciate sometimes the wisdom, but also the mercy that some of the other presbyters demonstrate. Mercy. Fruitful. Again, that our godly wisdom should bear good fruit, peace, edification, etc. Impartial. I don't know, they had a, if you watched the Husker game last night, after that there was a special on Brooke Berenger. Yep, you watched it. Yeah. And so when he was a quarterback at Nebraska, also was Tommy Frazier. And being able to make that decision. How do you make a decision like that without being impartial? Without letting your own personal feelings get in the way. Isn't that a tough one? But you know what? Our wisdom from God is to be impartial. Wow, that's hard. To be not impartial. Not to let our feelings get in our way, but allow it to be pure and from God. Lastly, sincere. That word sincere in the original language means without hypocrisy. There's no one thing on the exterior and something else in our heart without hypocrisy. You know what? If our wisdom contains purity, peace-loving, it's considerate, submissive, mercy, fruitful, impartial, sincere, it's going to produce some good things. And so when we go to the cupboard to grab our jar of wisdom, are we just grabbing the generic thing off the store shelf? Are we getting the good stuff? The extra virgin, pure wisdom that comes straight from God. You know what? It becomes evident in time just if we are truly mature, if we're using godly wisdom, because how that wisdom is played out, the fruit will be there, whether it's from God or not. I'm going to have the musicians come. You know, God's wisdom is not hiding. God isn't playing hide-and-seek with us, saying, oh, I hope, we'll see if they can find my wisdom, my nugget of wisdom this time. Instead of what Gil read in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom what? Calls out at the street corners, saying, let all who want wisdom come. I'm not playing hard to get. See, often, when it comes to living our own life, our wisdom gets polluted by our own humanness, our own selfish ambition or evil desires, sinful desires. God speaks about relationships, what's right there. He speaks about finances, about who we should hang out with and who we shouldn't, and lifestyle choices. See, we want to pursue what our heart wants to instead of pursuing the heart of God. In our wisdom, it's not that it's all bad, but I find that it can easily be influenced by our fall, by the sinful nature. And that's why we need to go to God in His Word to seek His wisdom. The last thing I have here is that often we seek the gifts, but not the giver. We seek the answer to prayer, but not the one we're praying to. We seek wisdom, but not the one in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom. We search for that end product instead of God Himself. And so in these final minutes, we're going to have those, Victor and Yolanda, Gil and Emily are going to help us out with prayer. If you have a need or request, you can come forward. But my question is this morning, where are you going to wisdom? And what's it producing in your own life? Are you seeing the fruit that James talks about? Or are you, is your wisdom being influenced by just your fallenness that we all possess? We're all sinful. And so we need God's wisdom and the fruit of His Spirit in our lives. Amen? So I encourage you, just as we close in this course, that you listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and listen to the heart of God. Let Him refine your life this morning. Refine your wisdom.